We're doing real well. All associations, I think, are experiencing some drops, but ours has slowed down, so we're comfortable with that.
What are your big agenda items for this year? I mean, it's a tough year to be a federal civil servant, so what are you working on?
It's a very tough year. Of course, our primary agenda is to counter the attacks on the federal manager and federal employees. And then also managerial training is at the top of our legislative agenda. And we're working very hard on getting that funded and getting that to be a mandatory event so that we need to have that done immediately after someone is promoted to be a supervisor. You need to have immediate training so that you can avoid all the problems that ensue from an untrained supervisor.
I think there was a legislative gambit to try to get that into law that didn't go anywhere last year. So is that one of the legislative issues you're pushing for?
Yes, it is. And the most critical part of that is funding the training. Because you can mandate training all you want, but if you don't fund it, people aren't going to get it.
And what else is on the legislative agenda this year? I guess you make some visits to the Hill as part of this conference.
Right. And as I said, our other major focus is to combat the attacks on the federal employees. We really believe it's an unprecedented year for that, and we just want to educate the new members of Congress as to what federal employees really are and what a federal manager does.
Yeah, these things ebb and flow, but you feel like this is one of the worst years ever?
Absolutely.
How does that manifest itself?
Well, the proposed legislations, we've never seen legislation like this before. So it's absolutely the most challenging year that we've experienced yet, I believe.
And do you feel a little bit better than your counterparts at the state and local level?
Yes, I think we need to differentiate between the state and local level and the federal government because they are two different functions. So we aren't yet doing any furloughs or anything like that, and we're very hopeful that that won't happen. I know I have a friend in California whose daughter and son-in-law both work for the state, and they each do one furlough day a week.
Wow.
So they've lost 20% of their household income. So we're hoping that won't be happening with us.
And we're speaking with Patricia Niehaus, who is the president of the Federal Managers Association. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, what's your day job?
My day job is I'm the labor relations officer at Travis Air Force Base in California. So I do labor and employee relations there.
And how many people are involved under the purview of that office?
We have 16 people in our office, in the human resources office there, and roughly 1,500, 1,600 employees.
So you're in a good position to see the trends in labor types of issues. What are you seeing this year?
This year, there's more efforts towards pre-decisional involvement in accordance with the president's executive order. I'm also a member of the National Labor Management Council, so we're working on that.
But in terms of the issues that come up between labor and management under your job that you do every day, what are the trends and the types of issues people are bringing before you?
I haven't seen much of a change in the trends of issues. You know, you always have the standard, you know, grievance issues. We're coming up in the Air Force on the end of our appraisal cycle, so you know you'll get the issues where the supervisors and the employees don't agree on performance. And so I really haven't seen much of a change as far as that's going.
So day to day, it feels like any other year.
Yeah.
Now, what about the continuing resolution? What kind of effect has that had on your ability and your and Travis's ability to plan for the future?
Well, I think the entire government is basically in a holding pattern. I mean, when they don't give us a budget, we're already halfway through the fiscal year, or almost halfway through the fiscal year. It makes it very difficult to make any plans or any changes and improvements when you don't know when you're going to get your money.
Now, we had the last shutdown threat occurred back in March 4th, and here it is, your conference is in the middle of March, so you might have been caught in a shutdown with the conference.
Yes, we were wondering until they passed that last continuing resolution if we would have a conference because a lot of people would not be able to travel without funding.
So given the funding, given the times and the tone and tenor of the times that you mentioned, what do you want your managers attending your conference to leave with? What's the dominant piece of knowledge you'd like them to go home with?
We would like to encourage them that we are working for them. There is hope at the end of the tunnel, I guess. We're working very hard. They're going on the Hill tomorrow to lobby with Congress, and we'd like to let them know and make sure that they do know that we are here every day working for them.
And just one final question from the point of view of California, being in a federal facility there, what do they think of Washington from 3,000 miles away?
Actually, the most comment I hear is, why can't they give us our money? Because they just, a lot of employees on my installation just don't understand why we have continuing resolution after continuing resolution. It's not an efficient process.